It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Are you ready? I hope so, because it started.
Oh.
Were you ready?
I am now.
Were you when I hit the button?
Probably.
All right, good. Hello, and welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that is here specifically to help you exercise your personal demons, because we don't want your personal demons to get out of shape and sedentary. We want them active and alert and healthy. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 224. And really, we're just here to work on the core. We're not going to be worried about
the glamour muscles like that. No, this is about health.
Yes.
This is not about attractiveness
or,
of your
getting toned up or anything like that.
Yeah.
If you want your demons to be ready for bikini season or whatever, you're going to have to listen to a different podcast.
And a lot of it is diet. So,
yeah, that's true. Well, we don't cover that either.
No. This is just about exercising your demons. So welcome, everyone, to that. For those of you just joining us for the first time on episode 224, rethink your priorities. But anyway, here's the deal. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people who are awesome write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little things, little comments, questions, topics, stuff like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. It's event planning servants, draw those note cards out randomly, read them out loud on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour, and that's the whole show. I prepare the only podcast ever things. I never remember to prepare the E servant thing. Never. Always, as I'm doing the intro, I'm like, shit, it's coming. I got nothing.
Well, you can't give me another job, because I can barely do the job I've been given.
You're set.
Yep.
So, has it just been 1 week?
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of not being 1 week, so I get confused. So it's just been, wow, a lot has happened to me for 1 week. All right. So how was your week?
Fine. I got my ears tested.
Oh, and did they get their driver's license?
I don't know if you know this, but for probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, maybe a little longer, I've been thinking that I've been experiencing some hearing loss.
Oh.
Did you know that? Or
I don't know that I knew that. I mean, you're old, so it happens.
Yeah, you know. Mostly because I sometimes don't hear what's going on in the household, and sometimes I need to turn things up louder than other people are comfortable with it being turned up, and mm-hmm. so on. And I've particularly experienced that whole thing where if there's a lot of background noise, I have a hard time hearing what's going on. So anyway, so I thought, okay, well, you know, that's just happening. I'm getting older and my ears are getting worse. But I went ahead and had them tested this past week, and they said that all the tests, my hearing, I heard as well as normal.
Okay.
All my hearing is in the normal range, which was good news.
Yeah.
Apparently, I haven't experienced any.
Well,
enough hearing loss to go out of normal. Yeah.
You compared to the average does not mean compared
that's
to how
right.
you used to be.
In fact, that's. I kind of had to talk to him about this because I knew I was experiencing these things differently than before. And they said, well, the normal range is pretty wide. Mm-hmm. So it's possible that you don't hear as well as you used to. And we don't have any, this is the first time we've tested you, we don't have any way of knowing that.
Yeah.
But also that I don't hear as well as other people in the household. The whole having to turn things up louder than other people need. Yeah. But see, that's a problem because, if I need, they said it's okay for me to turn up radio, TV as loud as I need it to hear it. It's probably not going to damage my hearing or whatever.
Yeah, if you're not wearing headphones or
something.
Sure.
Yeah. But it makes other people uncomfortable to have it that loud.
Yeah.
So that becomes kind of an issue.
We use the captions a lot for those kind of situations in our house.
Mm.
I don't know if they caption the radio, so we could get Samuel to go over and do that for you.
Well, I don't often, I mean, when I'm writing with someone, I don't often listen to the radio. It's mostly the television.
Yeah. Yeah, we use captions a lot. Just in general, I mean, we use it because I don't know that any of us have hearing problems, but sometimes we just don't want it that loud. And there's a lot of, we want to catch the in-between bits, or we watch things with people with accents, and sometimes we have trouble. Mm. So, yeah, we just, and I think I just got into a habit because my father has hearing problems, so he had the captioning on a lot, and I really liked it, and so that is uncommon for us. I've tried.
Maybe that's a way to
nowadays go. I'm trying to ease back on it when it's comedy because it ruins jokes.
Yeah, it kind of does.
But otherwise.
Yeah, my dad was, when we were home for Father's Day, which also would have happened this past week, dad was watching a comedian. Oh, I can never remember the guy's name. He's got a show now, though. His name starts with G, I think. And his shtick is, well, it used to, I don't know, it didn't seem to be doing this as much when we were watching him on television, but it kind of was his thing where he'd be going along in his routine and then he'd go into this kind of falsetto voice speaking for someone in the audience criticizing.
Jim Gaffigan?
Yeah, that guy.
Jim Gaffigan's pretty hilarious.
Well, anyway, on Father's Day on some channel, they were just playing his stuff all day. And Dad was watching it, but he had the captions on. So it's like you always do.
You can see it
what his joke was going to be before he said it. So it was a little weird, but
the one that I finally decided I had to do was when 30 Rock was still on. Because that thing, you have to pay attention to follow all the jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
But it blew so many of them, and I was like, I can't do this to myself. Now, however, the magic of captions and the DVR mean if you miss one, you can go back far enough, turn on the captions, and catch it. But yeah, I finally had to turn it off with those. When I was younger, lost some hearing in one of my ears. I don't remember which one. I was still in the normal range, but I had definitive lesser hearing because I had a bad enough ear infection that it perforated my eardrum. And so there's some scar tissue in there, and it's permanent. And I wonder sometimes, because in this ear, if I get loud enough, I get weird staticky background noise.
In your right ear?
Yeah, if I'm talking too loud.
Hmm.
And that can't be good.
Well, I do have other complaints with my ears that an audiologist isn't going to have anything to do with. So I might have to see
how they're shaped funny. And
no, like when I fly, when I'm landing. My ears
hurt so bad.
So I might have to see one of those
ENT guys.
Yeah. I might have to see one of those.
They used to be EENT in my day.
In your day?
They were eye, ear, nose, and throat.
Oh.
And, which is weird because they still had eye doctors, but that's what they called them. And then eventually they were like, you guys don't know shit about eyes. Knock it off. Does anybody else remember? I'm pretty sure they used to be eye, ear,
that
nose, and throat.
That sounds familiar. But
then at some point it switched to just be ear, nose, and throat.
Because, you know, my day is before your day.
I know. But modern medicine hadn't come to your community until just about the time you were headed for college, I think. So
yeah. And Father's Day was nice. And went down to the farm. And I mean, nothing really to talk about there. But how was your week? Very eventful, you say.
Fairly. I'm trying to remember it all. The weekend, there was, I attended a ritual for Midsummer.
Oh, yeah.
Yet that you declined.
Yep.
I saw on the invite.
I didn't know you were going.
I mean,
I couldn't go either way, but.
Well, and I don't know. Some of your predilections, I think you might not have enjoyed it. I don't know.
Why's that?
I'll get to that when I explain what it's about. I've gotten permission to discuss the details and so forth.
Right.
I went because Trish wanted me to go. And that's not normal for her, usually. Usually, with this kind of stuff, unless, like, she's nervous and needs my support. She's much more of a, you can go if you want or not if you don't. And I would have not, because I'm not Pagan anymore. I'm not anything anymore.
Right.
So I wouldn't have, but she wanted me to, and that was fine.
Okay.
And so I went, and it was at the UU Church basement.
Okay.
And they made it very mysterious. Didn't know what was happening. You got into there, and the actual area where it was closed off. And then at the time it was starting, they locked the door to the building, so nobody could show up late. And each individual person got taken into the place.
Yeah, I think the invitation mentioned that that's kind of how things were going to go. I didn't remember that it was going to be in that church, but
yeah. Because it was actually, well, Marcia especially is part of that church, mm-hmm. and a lot of people who showed up were from that CUPS chapter.
Okay.
Which, for those who don't know, CUPS is, it's an acronym for something, but basically it's UU Pagans.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I got to meet a lot of people I didn't know. Mm. There were people I knew, Bob and Jenny were there, and of course Marcia and Kirk, and Dawn and Cheryl. I got to meet a lot of people I didn't know, which was interesting. That's cool. And so they let us all in, and the cleansing was, it was really cool, actually. They had taken leaves and flowers,
mm-hmm.
and apparently you dip them in paraffin soap, and then you just let them sit, and it absorbs it, so they get infused with the soap.
Okay.
So you would pick up one of these, and it's just sort of a waxy-feeling leaf.
Okay.
And then you dampen it in this water, and suddenly it's all soapy. And then you soap your hands with it, and then there was another bowl to rinse off, and then dry your hands. And the ritual was very straightforward. There was a lot of food. You were told to bring finger food, and they had brought a lot. There was a ton of food on this table. And there's altars and everything, and we did a quarter calling. They didn't cast a circle. They cast a sphere, which was interesting to me. But, I mean, theoretically makes sense.
Yeah.
And did an interesting thing. This is a little inside baseball, but amongst certain pagans, especially of the Wiccan variety, there's debate over where you start casting the circle, in the north or in the east.
Yeah.
A lot of traditions start in the east. I always started in the north because I thought it was foundational. I think my phone's about to ring. I sense it.
Why would that be?
Because the place I ordered delivery from always calls rather than coming to the door.
Oh.
But they actually parked in the driveway, so maybe he's just going to come. That would be weird. Sorry, we couldn't work out supper. So, but the good news for you is it's not pizza. I don't know why that's good, but, you know, it's a change. Yep, here he comes. Can you collect from him? You don't have to sign anything or tip him or anything. It's all done.
Hi.
Hi there.
Is your food?
Yep.
Thank you.
Good work. Trish, supper's here. I don't think she heard. Can you yell down the hall?
Trish.
No, not that way. She's that way.
She's in the door.
Yeah, so go like past the futon. Sorry, folks. We're having a little dinner break here.
Hey, Trish. Hey, Trish.
Trish. No, she's listening to stuff. There's an air conditioning unit on back in there.
Well,
scooch a little further and yell.
What do you want to do this?
Well, you can give it to me as soon as we get her attention.
Hey, Trish!
Louder.
Trish!
I think you're right, otherwise I think she'd say something.
What do you want to do?
Be louder and get closer.
Trish! Food.
There we go.
I think she might have been sleeping.
I doubt it. It's possible. Okay, bring it back here then. Thank you. For those of you playing at home, I ordered sesame beef and scallion pancake.
I don't... What? What was the last thing?
Scallion pancake.
What's that?
I'll show you.
It's super tasty. That's just rice.
This is good radio here. Scallion pancake.
Here, look, take a look.
While I get other stuff.
Oh, it looks like a pancake, but yep. With little green things in it.
Those are scallions.
I see.
That's where the name comes from.
Did I wake you
up?
We
have like 5 minutes of yelling for you that the food is here.
Were you sleeping?
No. Oh. I was watching a movie.
Okay. I didn't mean to interrupt
this
you.
This is yours. And.
Do you have any implements?
Also this.
Implements.
No, it does not have any implements.
That's what happens when you get choo-choo things.
There you go. All right.
Boiled soybeans.
Boiled soybeans. They don't call it edamame. They call it boiled soybeans. And Twiglet's here because he wants to eat. All right, so where was it? Yeah, so the ritual. So there's all this food. And we cast a sphere. Oh, and yeah, there's a frequent difference between whether or not you start in the east or you start in the north. So what Dawn did was she actually anchored the circle in the north and then went and started doing the calls in the east. And as somebody else pointed out, that also made it an actual full circle. Because when you normally do all four directions, you don't go back to the last one. So then there's technically a gap. So that was good. But anyway, I set all this up and made the sacred space and all that. And then what happened was we just hung out and ate and drank. But you were not allowed to feed yourself. And you were not allowed to pour your own beverage. You could drink from your own glass. So you would have to ask people to give you a bite of something, and they would put it in your mouth, and you would eat it, or to pour you a drink. And that was it, and then we just hung out and talked and stuff, and it was really fun. And I had a really good time. And I really kind of hope they do more of these in the future, because I really enjoyed it.
Good.
So yeah, that was fun. I'm still watching Sense8. We got 2 episodes left. Really liking it. Pretty much every episode I like it more than previously, which doesn't usually happen with the show. There's usually like, oh, this one was kind of a weak episode or whatever, but no, it does really well. We saw the pilot of a new show on Comedy Central called Another Period, which is, I guess it's a sitcom. It's really like a half hour long sketch. But it's set in 1902 amongst this really privileged family, and it's just tons of people that you know. Ricky Lindholm from Garfunkel and Oates is in it. Natasha Leggero, David Wayne, Michael Ian Black. I'm pretty sure Kate Micucci's going to show up. Just a ton of comedians in this. It's pretty cute so far. We'll see. I think we'll keep watching. Characters for the Earthdawn game have been finished, so we will be actually playing starting next Tuesday. I really thought there was more stuff.
Yeah, I did too.
Me too. I feel like
I thought we'd be going for a long time talking about your stuff.
I felt like there was more stuff.
We kind of got interrupted with the whole food thing, though.
Yeah. But the ritual was very cool.
What about it did you think I wouldn't like?
You and your issues with germs and stuff. Oh, feeding each other.
Yeah, that might have been a little.
Well, and there was somebody there who just totally couldn't. She didn't even participate in that part. Which was interesting because we all were like eating and all this. And then before we ended, they were like, are you sure? Is everybody, anybody want anything else? And said no. And so then we opened the circle and ended the ritual, but they were like, you can hang around while we clean up and stuff, and you can feed yourself at this point. And suddenly we all had more to eat. I was like, so it wasn't that we didn't want more food. We were like, no, I don't want it enough to go through the trouble of having somebody feed me. But
yeah, there's a lot of reasons that would bother me.
Yep.
See? Lots of levels.
There you go then. But it was tasty. And I think the most popular item was the chicken taquitos.
But I mean, I get the I get how meaningful it was.
It was meant to be community building. And I think it was. Yeah. I feel like we had much more interaction. I mean, when I was asking strangers to, like,
no, a lot of the things that would bother me about it are probably just the kinds of things I need to get over in a situation like that. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And it was really tasty food, too. Yeah, I thought some other stuff happened this week. Guess not.
You didn't mention any movies or anything?
Didn't see any movies. We were going to, but I was kind of ill yesterday, and so date night was sort of truncated. Yeah, I think we were going to watch Gone Girl, but we didn't do that. We haven't started the new Dresden. Yeah, I guess that's it.
Okay.
So, had it up.
Had it up.
Well, I eat some food.
Oh, great. See, whenever you do this, then all the burden's on me.
Yep.
Anonymous wants to know, do you prefer modern Disney or classic Disney? Well,
this is supposed to be sesame beef. It lies.
What is it?
Sesame chicken. You want some?
You always offer me chicken. Exactly. Because it's not really meat, I guess. Modern Disney or classic Disney? Well, I don't know. I've honestly...
Well, that's tricky. Where do you draw the line?
Yeah, that's one problem. But another problem is I've never actually been a huge Disney fan in general. I mean, for a long time, it was kind of the only... show in town when it came to watching animated features, so you watched them, and they were good a lot of times, you know, but there was always this issue with, you know, since a lot of Disney features are taking old stories and changing them quite a bit, usually in ways that I don't personally like. I typically like the original better, or even if I don't like the original better so much, the things they changed to make it a Disney movie, kind of, I find it bothers me, you know? I think a good way to, a good film for me that I thought expressed how Disney takes things and takes stories and does things to them that I just don't generally appreciate or like is that movie Saving Mr. Banks or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Where Tom Hanks, right, was playing...
Tom Hanks and Walt Emma Disney. Thompson.
Emma Thompson was playing the woman who wrote...
The woman who wrote Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins. And in that film, I think the film was kind of meant to... it's supposed to have a very sympathetic picture of Walt Disney. Was it Walt Disney?
You are correct.
Walt Disney film, right?
Yes, in fact.
And yet, even in this film, he seems to come off a little bit like a jerk when it comes to... respecting the property that he's dealing with. I mean, he totally, even in this film, he totally comes off as this guy who he sees a story he likes, and instead of being faithful to that story or true to it or wanting to make a film about it because he wants to share it with the world, he wants to turn it into his own thing. He wants to turn it into something that's going to make a lot of money, you know, or whatever. I mean...
That might be the performance. Tom Hanks is notoriously a jackass. So.
Well, I don't think he came off as a jackass. He just came off as...
Well, it was a joke. Apparently Tom Hanks is one of the nicest people in the world. Him and Weird Al Yankovic.
But yeah, like the stuff that they had in there about the things they were changing about her story, that she was ultimately okay with, I guess. But...
I think historically she's not super. She wasn't super happy with the movie, though.
Well, I don't know one way or the other, but it just made me think of how Disney's always doing that. It's always taking a story that's perfectly good by itself and making changes to it, which I don't object to in fundamentally, especially like the Grimm fairy tales, for example. I mean, those were oral tales. They changed almost every time they were told. If someone's going to make a movie out of it and they want to change it a little bit, to me, that's in keeping with the tradition of the tales themselves.
And some of them are obvious changes because they're kids' movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But there are some things, some changes that are made that They don't make the story more interesting or compelling or more fun or anything else. And it seems the only it's only to serve, you know, some commercial interest, which, again, I don't fault anyone for doing for their own purposes, but I'm not going to personally like it very much.
Yeah.
So what it, that amounts to is that, you know, early Disney films, well, most Disney films, I can almost always appreciate the animation, sometimes the music, a lot of other things about it, but I don't walk away thinking, wow, that was a great movie, I've got to own that, and I've got to have Disney stuff in my house. It's just, Disney's not really my thing. Now, Pixar, as we've often said, is a whole other story. And
if and that complicates this entire process.
Yeah, but if you say modern Disney and what you and you include basically everything Pixar's done, well, then I of course I prefer modern Disney. But yeah. if we're keeping Pixar out of it, I do like a lot of what Disney started doing after, like Lilo and Stitch, for example, I thought was a very good film. And I think that's usually considered the film that's sort of like they're going to start being a little more, taking themselves a little less seriously kind of thing at that point, maybe. Am I wrong about that? Or
I did not know there was such a situation. So
well, like even when they were promoting the movie, one of the things they'd have in ads and stuff was they'd have, they'd show these scenes from other Disney movies and the whole thing would get wrecked because Stitch was running around in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And the film itself had a very different feel. It felt more like old Warner Brother cartoons than Disney movies. Because even in the post, Little Mermaid period of Disney movies, which is kind of its own little period there.
Well, I know Little Mermaid is considered the one that started making Disney movies profitable again.
Well, yeah, and a lot of them after that were very good. I mean, you had Aladdin with that incredible performance by Robin Williams, and the music was good, and Lion King. I mean, all of those, I mean, it was a whole new era in Disney films, and they were good. I enjoyed them. But I felt about the same in terms of the storytelling. I felt about the same as with the older Disney films. And there are a lot of things about the older Disney films that I appreciate more than, like some of the old Disney films, you can read the characters' lips. I mean, you can shut the sound off and read their lips. The animation is so good. And you don't get that. The animation in the post Little Mermaid features is good, but you don't get that sense of real craft and artistry in the animation.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't look the same.
No, but the music and the voice acting and everything and is good, and the stories are pretty good too. But I don't know if I'd say they're. Well, I think the music's better, but you know, the music in the early Disney cartoons is of a whole different era. You know, it's not music that I appreciate with the choral music of that age. I find very hard to listen to and hard to understand what the singers are saying. And so I didn't really get into the music of the really early Disney stuff. And the music in this era, a lot of times it was, you know, the person who composed the score was like, you know, Elton John or,
oh yeah, yeah.
You know,
or Phil Collins.
Phil Collins. And they actually did a really good job and it was, you know, really cool. But then it seems like after Lilo and Stitch, or maybe because Lilo and Stitch fits this mold, I'm kind of picking it as when everything changed. There was another change where the Disney films, I think, maybe inspired a little bit by the success of Pixar films, kind of, I don't know, there's something else. It was like a corner was being turned somehow. Like in the Little Mermaid era, things were different musically and a little bit in the storytelling and the pacing, but they still were true to a kind of a classic way of Disney storytelling. And then, like now, it seems more like they're having to compete with other animation studios, because, I mean, Disney's not the only game in town anymore.
Oh, not even close, yeah.
And also with Pixar's incredible success that was so far and above all, you know, any animation studio success up to that time. And so you kind of have this, I guess, post-Pixar kind of era now where the storytelling is yet again a different pace. The comedy is a little more, I don't know if I should say sophisticated, but there's something different about it. I can't really put my finger on it, but it's different. And I do like that better than any other Disney era.
I wonder
so
if
far.
We can pinpoint like a major change in leadership or something. Like, did Eisner leave around that time or something like that?
Well, now Emperor's New Groove, is that a Disney movie?
I'm not sure. Like Road to El Dorado, I consider that one. I think it is because I think they had a TV show based on it that was on the Disney channel.
Because I think it is, and that's another one that's very different. I mean, you see what I'm saying? It's almost screwball comedy kind of thing than more than a lot of the other Disney stuff. Well, like think of like Aladdin. You know, that's a story with comedy elements, but it's not a comedy. You know what I mean? I mean, even though you've got Robin Williams in there, you know, chewing the scenery, as you like to say,
and Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah, it's not really a comedy, but now you really get the sense that what you're watching is an animated comedy more than anything, and I think that's a big difference from what Disney was doing before. And Emperor's New Groove is a great film. I think it's excellent. But
Emperor's New Groove and Lilo and Stitch are both films that I don't think were particularly commercially successful.
Is that right?
I don't know. The other option is that they were particularly kid-focused, so they just barely blipped on my radar.
Oh, they were really good.
Because I saw Lilo and Stitch. I found it so-so. I never saw Emperor's New Groove.
No, I liked them both a lot. Well, also, they were kind of... I don't know when the 3D animation was happening. It might have been sort of overlapping there. Mm-hmm. And these were both 2D animated features, so I don't know what impact that had. But I kind of recognize sort of three eras in Disney, and I can't say I'm a fan of any of them hugely, but if I had to pick one, yeah, I'd say the most recent, which to me doesn't even include all of those films with Little Mermaid. That's more in the, most of them would be Pixar and three or the ones that are like Pixar. Most of them probably 3D, a few of them 2D maybe.
Of course, you're making an assumption here. Read the question again.
Do you prefer modern Disney or classic Disney?
The word movie or film doesn't show up in that.
That's true.
And Disney is much broader than that.
Well, and it always has been.
Yes.
But I can't say that I mean, there were a lot of, you know, Disney films when I was growing up that I didn't see. I mean, you know,
yeah.
I pretty much saw Disney animated features, and anything else Disney made didn't really see that very often or very much. And when I did see them, I wasn't a huge fan, like Escape from Witch Mountain and things like that. No, didn't really resonate. And really, even now, when it comes to Disney films or Disney media that's outside of animated features, the Marvel stuff is probably the most recognizable and the sort of the biggest deal, and which I've liked, and we've talked a lot about Star Wars
is coming.
Yeah, that's true. And the Muppets the Muppets have been a part of Disney MGM Studios for years, since even before Jim Henson passed away, but it's only now becoming a property that they're doing a lot with. And, you know, as far as that goes, I can't say that I'm really getting much into the modern Muppet stuff.
Is that your ride?
You always ask me that.
Yep.
I mean, I like the Muppet Show, and I like all the stuff Jim Henson did. And sometimes modern Muppet stuff can be pretty good, especially since Frank Oz is still doing some of it. But for the most part, modern Muppets, like the recent Muppet movies, they're okay.
Speaking of...
They mostly make me sad when I watch
really,
them.
Really, really old men who it's kind of a surprise are still alive. Patrick McNee died like today or something.
Today.
Well, or yesterday, but recently enough that that's when it showed up on my Facebook feed. Mm. And I'm sad about that. I really liked Patrick McNee. But he was 93, so, you know.
Well, so yeah, I mean, and Marvel movies I watch and I enjoy, but I'm not really a Marvel guy, so. I don't know, would anything ABC fit into here? Because they've owned ABC for quite a while now.
No,
I can't think of any ABC
I'm
thing
talking
that blows
outside
me
of that. Disney TV shows, Disney properties.
Yeah, which I've,
Disney.
I've not really seen any Disney TV shows except events. When I was a little kid, because I think they had Davy Crockett or something on TV when I was growing up or something, but no.
I went to Disneyland when I was like 12, maybe. Maybe younger. My brother sprung it on me. I was going to go visit him up in Portland, which was an hour north, and so he comes to pick me up, and they bring everybody inside and sit down, and everybody's acting weird, and they're all kind of grinning, like, so, what's going to happen? And my brother's like, oh, I think we're just going to head south. And I was like, what? They're like, you're going south? He's like, yeah. Well, how far? Well, heading down, you know, probably past Ashland. And I was like, Ashland? Because Ashland's where the Oregon Shakespeare Festival is. And even at a young age, I was that kind of nerd. So I was real excited. But they're like, you're going to go to Ashland? I was like, no, we're going to keep going. I'm like, well, where are you going to go? And finally, he's like, probably all the way to Disneyland. And I was like, what? Oh, my God! And I lost my mind. So I went to Disneyland. It was very fun for the time. Like, nowadays, like, I haven't had a big urge in recent years to go back or anything. But I think of it as somewhat timeless, you know? It's Disneyland. Sure, it changes some over time, but it's still basically Disneyland. But now, I've heard lots of people, Disney World, because we're far enough east here, you go to Disney World, you don't go to Disneyland. And when they talk about stuff, absolutely everything that's noteworthy to them that they feel like talking about are features and rides that did not exist when I went. And it feels very weird to me.
I went to Disney World when I was 16 or 17. Disney World in Orlando. And I liked it a lot. I mean, I was a little old for most things.
Yeah.
But I liked Epcot Center a lot. A whole lot.
That seems appropriate.
And my favorite attraction there was the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
And when I went back, when I was in my, I just entered my 30s, I went back. And I still enjoyed Epcot Center and a lot of other things. And I still enjoyed the Haunted Mansion a lot, probably even more the second time. And I was really excited when I heard that Guillermo del Toro was going to make a film based on it. Because, you know, there was a film, an Eddie Murphy film.
Yes, people saw.
Which was terrible.
Apparently Will was one of the three.
I was so disappointed because, you know, when they were going to make Pirates of the Caribbean, I thought, what? Because that's not real. I mean, that's a ride I also rode when I was there. And it's okay, you know, it's kind of fun. But to make a movie based on it, that doesn't make any sense. But
makes way more sense to me because it's about pirates in the Caribbean. The haunted house would be about a house that's haunted.
Yeah. Those are the best stories ever. Haunted house stories? You don't like haunted house stories?
Well, it just doesn't seem like a Disney movie property, particularly.
Well, anyway.
I like them. They're called horror movies, and there's a lot of them.
When the film actually came out, Pirates of the Caribbean, I was so impressed with what they did. And I think it's a pretty impressive set of movies, actually. So, but they just come out with the first one, and they were going to have the Haunted Mansion. I thought, okay, well, this is cool. This is the ride that I like from here.
Yeah.
And I don't. There's not a lot of things that I can say I really love from Disney, but that's one of the things. So I was really excited about it, and then it was terrible. But then when I like Guillermo del Toro. Even the stuff that he's done that I don't like very much, I like tons more than most other things.
Yeah. You can still respect the craft.
Yeah, so it's going to be hard. And this is his favorite ride in Disney World, too. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of love for this ride and for characters in the ride. I mean, he's talked about characters in the ride that I didn't even know existed.
Well, unfortunately, I think they've been updating it again.
Yeah.
I think they're adding stuff from other Disney properties in weird ways.
I've gone through a period in my life where I was kind of upset with Disney for some of the things that they were doing.
For ruining your childhood.
Well, no, but more of a, you know, I've been through a period in my life where I'm kind of sensitive to, large concerns sort of, co-opting other cultures.
Yeah.
And cultural artifacts and stories and how, there's a, well, you know what I'm talking
there's
about.
There's a reason why somebody once coined the term Disneyfication.
Yeah, yeah.
And when we say it, we all know what we mean.
And it's not good.
No.
Now I'm kind of at a place where, well, first of all, most of the cultural stuff they've sort of acquired or co-opted, if you will, is European culture, which it's not really a persecuted culture or something. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know what I mean? It's hard to really be angry about that one for a very long time. And also,
but then they had the Frog Prince.
Well, yeah. But then also a lot of these stories, as I said before, they were originally told orally and they're supposed to change. And, again, so I don't really have a problem with what Disney's done to them and with them. I just don't really like it. It's not my favorite version of those stories. But I have less of a chip on my shoulder about it than I did for a little while. But I still am not a huge fan of Disney, and I don't know. But you're done eating, so now I can stop talking.
I hope you guys aren't hearing whatever Trish is watching in the other room. It's loud enough that I can make out the words, which is weird because she's a long ways away.
But do you have any preferences about Disney classic TVs, movies, whatever?
Disney is an organization. I feel like they've gotten creepier in recent years, but I think it's probably more accurate to say there's just more knowledge about how creepy they are. Because they're basically the entertainment Walmart before there was Walmart.
Again, that, and I don't like that, and that's kind of a problem I have with them.
And my little inner hipster is like, oh yeah, it's what's popular. I have an issue with that too. But I guess modern Disney, just because Disney hasn't been that big an influence on me prior. I don't know. I'm not that into Disney.
No, never have been either.
So, I mean, I guess modern, but...
They tell stories. I don't think the stories they tell are very good, but if other people like them, if they want to spend money on them, hey, whatever. And if people want to go to their big resorts and, all of the stuff that's involved with that I sometimes don't feel very comfortable with, that's their business. But I've enjoyed the two times I've visited Disney World. I enjoyed them both times.
The producer,
I don't know if I'll ever go back, but...
The producer was at a convention that was at... It wasn't at Disneyland, but it was in Anaheim, and it was at a resort that's associated with.
Yeah.
And it was a business convention, so they were doing stuff. But in the hotel, in between things or whatever, they had a period of time one afternoon where a bunch of the characters were there. And there's, no kids, because the hotel's basically booked for the convention. And apparently all these grown-ups in business attire were just so psyched to get their picture taken with Mickey and Goofy and Pluto. And it was really sweet, apparently.
Oh.
Because they were all these way too old for this kind of stuff. We're like, oh my god, it's Mickey!
I don't really care about Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck. Now, like I said, I like Pixar. I love Toy Story. It's probably my favorite set of films from them, so I like that stuff.
I always feel weird about Toy Story, because I like Toy Story. I feel like I don't like it as much as the rest of the world does. And so I feel like there's something wrong with me, because, literally, the entire world loves Toy Story more than I do.
Well, I mean, I
which is just odd to
me. The first film came out at a time in my life when I was going through some really difficult stuff, and it had kind of a special meaning for me during that time.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of strong sentimental attachment to it.
I feel the same way about Eyes Wide Shut.
Okay. Well, but I think I feel the same way that you do about the third Toy Story, which I thought was an okay movie, but it wasn't the best.
I haven't seen the third.
Well, a lot of people think it's like the best.
I'm not positive that I've seen the second.
The first one is my favorite. The second one is probably better. You know, I
think it won more awards and stuff.
But I mean, the first one's still my favorite. And the third one is okay. But for some people, it was like mind-blowingly awesome, and I just don't understand that.
Yeah, people lost their shit over the third one.
But yeah, you know, Disney is what Disney is.
Disney is as Disney does.
I don't quite know what to make of it always, but.
Right.
Drawing another question. Here we go.
Yes.
What?
This is from Hard Hat number one, Mark McKibben.
Oh, Mark. Excellent.
And it's been abridged.
Okay.
Digested, as it were. Because, as we should remind you, these all manifest physically within the hat on half of a 3x5 card. So a 3x2.5 card. I specify this because it says, "Dear the Connecticut Dungeon Master thing that I don't even know what it all means." He commented one time on what it meant, but it doesn't show up in the emails, so we don't know. But he's got some long-ass name for us now. What's in your EDC, which apparently stands for Everyday Carry? Now, he had the foresight to realize we might not know what that meant.
Okay.
So he very helpfully included a Wikipedia link.
Oh.
Would you like to click the note card, or shall I?
You're clicking it.
That's the sound of me clicking the link.
Nothing's happening.
Nope.
Do you happen to know what that is?
I don't, actually. I mean, I can extrapolate from...
Well, I suppose I can, too. Like, a purse, or a...
Yeah, I got my purse, and I got what's in it.
Or a wallet, or... Whatever you happen to everyday carry?
My everyday carry in my pockets is just my wallet and my keys. But I always have them. Like, that's never been an issue. It always kind of surprises me because depending on what the producer carries, she may or may not have, like, her credit cards or her driver's license or something. And I'm like, I don't leave that. The only exception is going to the gym. And I used to take it to the gym, too, but now I'm like, this is ridiculous. I literally never use it. It's a few blocks away. It's 5:30 in the morning, so I don't take it anymore. But otherwise, I never don't have my wallet and my keys. So I find that very odd. When I take my purse, which I always do to work, at least, and I do most other places, the big things it has in it has my ID for work. It has my iPod. It has my Kindle. It has my Bluetooth headphones. It has a pair of earbuds that are just regular non-Bluetooth. Technically, I have my glucosameter in there. I haven't used it in years, but technically I have that if I needed to check my blood sugar. And I think that's it. I mean, other things come and go in it, but those are the standards that don't change.
The only thing I carry with me anywhere, much less everywhere, is my keys, which is going to include my car, you know, my Prius car, whatchamacallit, two house keys, and a couple keys for inside the house. So not a lot of keys on that chain. Mm. And then I've got a little paper sleeve that you sometimes get with bank cards, but I don't keep bank cards in it. I keep my ID in it. And I keep an insurance card in there, like a health insurance card.
So you don't carry a wallet?
No. And I think there's another card in there, too, that I don't remember what it's for.
So you don't carry money?
I carry... Sometimes I'll have cash.
Yeah.
But usually a bank card will be in the little sleeve, but I don't have a bank card anymore, so I don't even have that. It's right here. This is all I carry besides my keys. It's just a little paper sleeve that you would normally find a cash card in. and it's got my driver's license. Oh yeah, it's a debit Visa for the health insurance or account.
Oh yeah, yeah, like flex spending.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've got that. If I need to use that. Oh, I've got my Smoky Mountains lifetime membership card in here.
Thank goodness for that.
And I've got just the card that we use, when you go in for something, they say, let me see your insurance card or whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
I've got
yeah.
that.
But so your insurance card.
Yeah. I guess that's what you
just
call it.
Pointing out that was a really long way.
And that's it. Wait. And the keys was the car and two for the house. And all these keys relate to doors in the house that we have locks on, I think. But there's more than I expected. There should be one more than I expected. So I don't know what that's to.
Extra key.
I mean, the two house keys are to the back door and the front door. So I don't know. But that's all I ever carry is just what I just showed you. Not no wallet. Sometimes I'll have bills, if I have some cash. But if I have change, I'll usually leave it in a dish or something. And
I'll do that too, yeah. I don't
and then
keep change
if the dish gets full enough, we'll take it and we'll take it to the bank and convert it to cash.
Interesting. Well, we need to then make you a duct tape wallet.
No, you don't need to do that.
I've got some really cool duct tape that's blue with bacon all over it.
It's all right.
I can make you one.
I'll never carry it because I think someone made me a duct tape wallet.
Did they really?
Don't.
Have you ever carried a wallet?
Yes, yes. I used to carry a wallet all the time, but I'd carry it in my back pocket, And then it eventually would wear out my pockets.
Yeah. Also, it's a dangerous place to do it for pickpockets. When I was somewhere in my teens, I was visiting my aunt in Seattle. And she took me someplace and she said, okay, here we are. This is the art gallery district. I said, okay. She said, it is also Skid Row. I said, oh. She said, so move your wallet to your front pocket and just keep an eye on things. I said, okay. And shortly after that, I was like, if it's a smarter idea to keep your wallet in the front, why don't I do that all the time? And ever since then, I have.
Well, for a while, probably the best solution for not having a wallet, because I decided I just didn't want to carry one, was I had this coin purse that had a sort of a pouch in the front of it that was big enough where you could put your ID and a few cards in there. So this coin purse could hold all the cards I cared about because I didn't have a whole bunch of cards.
Magic the Gathering and change
in cash, and it would fit right in my front pocket. And that was awesome to have for the longest time. I think there was even a hook on the inside where I could put a key or two if I wanted to put any keys in there. But then it got worn out, and I never could find a replacement for it. So, yeah. And
at some point, that card sleeve is going to get worn out.
Well, I'll just replace it. You can just go to the bank and get a new one.
All right, then.
Because this is probably the third or fourth one I've had. I don't think in all the time I worked at Applied, all the time you knew me there, and that I carried a wallet or...
I have never known a wallet-wielding William.
Nope, you never have. And not even the coin purse thing was before I worked at Applied Systems.
I called you Will the other day.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Well, a lot of people call me that.
I never have. And to the degree that then I referenced you again like a minute later and made a point to say William. So I was like, what the hell was that about?
A lot of people do that.
Oh, funny story.
Okay.
Speaking of you, because I mentioned you to somebody. So I was talking about that ritual that I went to.
Yeah.
And I emailed, well, I talked to Trish, but Trish was one of the people, and Trish, Marsha, and Dawn put it together. And I talked to all three of them. Well, I talked to Trish in person, and then I emailed Dawn and Marsha to make sure they were okay with me talking about the fact that they were pagan.
Oh, yeah.
And to make sure that they were okay with me talking about what happened in the ritual. I said, I'm not going to give away what the wording was for the calls or anything like that, but just what happened, like the story I told.
Right.
And I figured it'd be fine, but I figured it's polite to check.
No, yeah, it is, sure.
And Trish was fine. So then I email them, and I don't have Dawn's email anymore, but I know...
But she's on Facebook, right?
Yeah, maybe, but I was at work, and okay. I don't do Facebook at work. But I know the user name that she always uses.
Okay.
I just don't know, is it at Hotmail? Is it, you know, I didn't know what it was. So I'm asking Trish, and Trish is like, let me look here. She's like, there's two of them. And she pulls up, and one was at Yahoo, and one was at Gmail. And she's like, I think the Gmail one's the one she uses. And I said, I don't care. I'll just email both.
Sure.
Because if people have more than one, you know, you do all of it, and they'll get it someplace. So I put this in, and I'm like, regarding Saturday's ritual, it was really great. I enjoyed it. And do you mind if I talk about it potentially on the podcast? I'm not saying I will, but I might. And is it okay if I talk about what happened? And all good. Send that off. About half hour later, I get an email from somebody named Amanda that says, hi, I think you might have sent this to the wrong address because I don't know what you're talking about. And I look, and sure enough, I went back and looked again. Dawn, the username was apparently taken for Gmail, and so she had an addendum to it that I just hadn't seen. And I was like, I'm sorry, yes. Normally, and I explained, I'm like, normally she uses this, but I guess for Gmail you already had it, so she used this other one. Thanks for being polite and pointing it out to me so I can still send it to her. She replied and said, no problem. I'm actually pagan myself and went to a ritual on Saturday night, so it was a really weird coincidence. And I was like, oh my goodness. And then later she's like, she said, she's like, so how do I listen to your podcast? And so I told her that. And we ended up talking like all day.
Oh, that's nice.
Just because I was at work or whatever. Yeah. And eventually I was like, I'm just babbling now. You can stop responding. And she stopped responding. I'm assuming she had shit to do. But like we talked about, because I was like, if you're ever in the Iowa City area, then you, and she was like, well, if you're ever in this area, then you can, and it's near a Sabbat, I can maybe find your ritual too. So it was just really weird, but nice. Yeah, so that was fun. What was the question?
I don't know. Well, if Amanda's listening.
Our everyday carry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got my purse. My purse is breaking, though, which makes me mad. I'm going to have to get a new one. We've talked about that before. I call it a purse. I don't call it a sigil, and I certainly don't call it a merce or a man purse. And it's very intentional, and it freaks out some people.
Really?
It does. They are uncomfortable with that idea. But I'm like, here's the object. You could make an argument for calling it a satchel or something. I believe it's called a carry bag or something. If you saw a woman with this, you would refer to it as her purse.
Yeah, almost.
And
no
she
question.
Most likely would as well.
Yes, yep. Mm-hmm.
So it's not gendered. So why the hell would the exact same object on my shoulder be... And, you know, the whole make man something, fuck that. Just straight up, fuck that. That is so stupid.
I agree.
As equally stupid as the old branding technique of, oh, we made this thing and now we're going to make a female version and call it lady, whatever it is, and make it pink, because of course.
Yeah.
So Trish found a picture of a bag. I don't think I would get it because it's bright pink and I'm not a big pink guy. But it's this bag. She's like, you get this bag now to replace your purse because, like I said, it's sort of ripping. And it just says in really big letters, I hate everyone and pants. And I was like, yes!
Except, and but also pink, so that's a problem.
I don't hate pink. It's not my thing. I might see if they have it because I love that sentiment. Just, I hate everyone and pants because that's accurate.
Yeah.
That's humans and pants are the worst.
Yeah. And, of course, humans invented pants. So.
Do you know who got me my skirt? I have a broomstick skirt, a black one.
Not that I know.
I haven't worn it in so many years, and I wore it to the ritual. And we were trying to figure out who made it or got it for me. And all the suspects that were there, because a lot of it, Jen was there, Sharon Eben were there. They all claimed innocence. So I'm like, I don't know who the hell. I guess you weren't around... Yeah, you wouldn't know anyway.
It's too bad we couldn't go because there's a lot of people who were there that I know that I haven't seen in ages.
It was really, yeah, and it was really neat and met a lot of new people. There were younger pagans and just sort of remember, like, so many people that were talking about stuff, and I'm like, wow, I haven't talked about this stuff since college. It was a very sort of trippy vibe for that because, yeah, there was a variety of different ages. But yeah, it was neat and I enjoyed meeting people. And that's the thing. Like, everything about this on paper, other than the fact that it's food, is very not me. But I really enjoyed myself, and I totally, if they do another one, I will go again.
Cool.
It was pretty cool.
Good.
And we're about out of time, and we have to record another one, because both of us will be, I'm assuming, family things for 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where I'll be, and that's where you'll be. So we're going to record another one. So for you guys, wait a week. We're just going to wait a few minutes. So, all right, demons, and one, and two, and stretch it out, and move those horns, and bend your tail.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.